We're going to begin again on the series that we started a couple months ago, prophecies concerning the end times. And as promised, today we're going to start talking about the rise of the world ruler that will come into the world at the end times. And I'm hoping that you will have your Bible open as we go through this. And we'll start at Daniel chapter 7, so please open your Bible to Daniel chapter 7. The topic that we're about to dive into here is one that I have been fascinated about for a long time, and I mean a long time, and all the way back from my youth, when my mother used to get out her Living Bible and open it to Revelation chapter 13 and then pull out her favorite bottle of booze. And she would read Revelation 13 to my brother and me for the purpose of trying to scare us to death. And guess what? It worked. It seems like for as long as I can remember, the people have been trying to figure out who this person is that Revelation 13 talks about, the person who was not given a name but a number. And it is a number that's so creepy that I don't even like writing it down in my sermon notes. Matter of fact, if you want to see my sermon notes, I didn't even put it in the typing. I didn't even type the number 666. And I thought, well, you know what, I got to put it in there somehow, so I handwrote it. The thing is that as the proliferation of wars and natural disasters and pestilence and disease rises in the world, people are worried. And they see these things happening, and pretty soon, folks, what's going to happen, unless I miss my guess, is there's going to be the mysterious and sudden disappearance of millions. And when this happens, millions of people just disappearing from the face of the earth, rising pestilence, wars and rumors of wars, people are going to be frightened. I mean, wouldn't you be? And the world will be thrown into a state of chaos. And the result is going to be an outcry for help and hope and for peace and all these things. And this sets the stage for a world ruler who's going to come on the scene. And he will promise peace, but that's the last thing that he will give. So he promises it. This is the person that John the Apostle refers to as the Antichrist. And he is the only person in the New Testament that actually uses this term. And he uses it in his epistles. But he refers to this individual as the Antichrist. The term Antichrist means against or instead of Christ. So when you read that term or hear that term Antichrist, we're referring to an individual who is against Jesus or wants to replace him. Okay? And this world ruler will oppose Jesus, the true Christ, though he tries to pass himself off as Christ. Okay? So, if one were to do an exhaustive study on this person and on the names that he is addressed by, you're going to find several different names used in Scripture, such as the man of lawlessness, which you find in your New Testament, and also the evil man of Thessalonians chapter 2, or even the prince who is to come, you find in Daniel chapter 9. So there's lots of different names. All the names that he has given are designed to try to help us get a picture of what he's going to be like. But the big problem is there's nowhere in Scripture where it comes out and says this is what he's going to be like and this is the guy's name. There's nothing that reveals that here he is. This is going to be his name. You know, look for a guy named John Doe. That's going to happen. So with this in mind, I decided to get myself a little trouble, which is what I do most of the time anyway. And I Googled. That's right. You want to know anything in the world today? You Google it. And I Googled the question, what? Who is the Antichrist? Now, I didn't expect to find the answer. I just wanted to get a good laugh or two when I typed that thing in there. So I did this. I put in who's the Antichrist. And sure enough, I was greeted with page after page after page after page of articles and, you know, websites designed to show you who the Antichrist is. And I'll be real honest. there are some things that I found that were pretty good. There was some good scholarly info there, but there's a whole bunch of weirdness out there when people talk about the Antichrist and some nonsense, and it's hard to understand which is which unless you've really got your eyes open. One website I went to actually had a 666 decoder. And so I started typing in names. You know, could this person be 666, you know? You'll be relieved to find out that when I typed in my name, my number was 5. I'm not even close. Not even close. There are many people over the years who have been suspected of being the 666 of Revelation chapter 13. And if I was to say, who do you think it might have been, you'd probably come up with a list of names of people that are super evil. And when you think of the most evil person who ever lived, you'd probably come up with somebody like Adolf Hitler. Right? Well, I put his name in there. And unfortunately, even though it was really, really close, he doesn't fit the description. And we'll talk about that in just a minute or two. How many of you know that there were some people years ago who suspected John Kennedy of being 666? Well, wait a minute. Before you say no. When he ran for president in 1956 and he got the Democratic nomination, guess how many votes he received? How many delegates he received? Exactly 666 delegates. Did you know that? And then he died of a head wound. And of course, Revelation says that this person is going to die of a head wound and then do what? Come back to life. And so immediately the 666 watchers started waiting for John Kennedy to come back to life. Okay? Hasn't happened yet. If he did, he's probably down there in Tennessee somewhere with Elvis pumping gas, because we know that he never died. Yeah, I saw an article, you know, Elvis Presley's still alive, and he showed a guy in an Elvis outfit pumping gas. So it must be Elvis is down there doing that. So what can we know about this ruler who is to come and bring about the end of the age? Well, if you have your book open, your Bible to Daniel chapter 7, okay, everybody got that? Daniel chapter 7, and we're going to start with verses 7 and 8. After that, in my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was a fourth beast, terrifying and frightening and very powerful. It had large iron teeth, and it crushed and devoured its victims and trampled underfoot whatever was left. It was different from all the former beasts, and it had 10 horns. And while I was thinking about the horns, here before me was another horn, a little one, which came up among them, and 3 of the first horns were uprooted before it. This horn had eyes like the eyes of a human being, and a mouth that spoke boastfully. Now, jump down to verse 25, if you would. Speaking of this small little horn, okay, he will speak against the Most High and oppress his holy people and try to change the set times and the laws. The holy people will be delivered into his hands for time, times, and half a time. Now, how many of you are so confused right now you want to know what's going on? Okay, well, point number one is this, that this world ruler who is to come will be a charismatic leader. Now, let's say charismatic. I don't want you to get confused, meaning people who are in the charismatic movement. You know what I'm talking about? Pentecostal Assemblies of God people, some of the churches of God, the charismatics that do the speaking in tongues and all that. I'm not talking about he'll be a charismatic pastor. I'm talking about he will be a leader who has a lot of charisma. Okay? You know what charisma is? Okay. He'll be a man who has a great deal of charisma. He'll be very eloquent. Okay? If you were to skip over to Revelation 13:5, you'll get a better idea what I'm talking about here, but hold on to that. My guess is that when this world ruler gets up to give a speech, that he will draw great crowds of people, and they will sit on the edges of their seats just waiting for the next thing to come out of his mouth as he speaks of great things, which will be, indeed, great blasphemy, as we just read here in Daniel chapter 7. The people will go to him. They will flock to this leader because he has a great deal of charisma. And when I think of people like this, I can't help but think of people like Joseph Stalin or Chairman Mao or even our favorite Adolf Hitler. I don't know if any of you have ever watched any of the videos when the Third Reich was in power, but way back when, some years ago, I watched several of these videos. How many of you know that when Adolf Hitler was about to give a speech, that he would practice the speech hours ahead of time? It wasn't unusual hours before the speech to find him standing at the podium, not saying a word, but just going through his gestures. You know, just this and the one who's all pounding on the pulpit. He would practice everything and have everything down just the way he wanted it. And without a doubt, he was arguably the most evil man since Antiochus Epiphanes and Nero and all them. I mean, history speaks very loudly of the horrors that were brought in this world because of him. Over 6 million Jews died because of Hitler's final solution. And many, many more millions died on the war front. There are more Russians that died in World War II than any other nation on earth. Millions. Just in the battle for Stalingrad. But he was loved. The people that came to hear him speak, many, many came because they feared him. But many followed him, and he practiced his fiery speeches for many hours. And his speeches would go something like this, and I've watched this on video more than once. Before he got up for his speech, there would be an orchestra in the front of the auditorium playing patriotic music, very moving, very patriotic music, but usually very stern music. Not uplifting stuff, but very, you know, stern music, but patriotic. And all of a sudden, the orchestra would stop. You know, midline, it would just stop. And Hitler would appear at the back of the auditorium. Okay? And as he appeared at the back of the auditorium, the orchestra would begin playing more patriotic music, but with swelling tones. And Hitler would stride to the front. And he would walk to the front and mount the steps, and he would go and stand behind the podium. And the place would go quiet. Kind of like this. And as he began to speak, he would speak in hushed tones. And he would speak of his love for the fatherland and how much he loved his country and how much he yearned for her to be great. And the people would have to sit on the edges of their seats to hear him because he'd be speaking in such hushed tones. But then as he would speak, he would get louder and louder and louder until he would at one point in his speech become a, you know, shrieking man with the arms waving in the air and the fist pounding on the podium. And some of you might think he had to shout because he was being dramatic, but most of the time he had to shout to be heard. Because the crowd was shouting. They were shouting their praises for the Third Reich, the Nazi movement, and Adolf Hitler. And these men and women sat on the edges of their seats and stood and shrieked and cheered as they watched the man bring about the final solution that led to the death of millions. And we think, oh, but that could never happen again. That can't happen again. We saw it happen once, and everybody knows that those that don't know their history are doomed to repeat it. One of the things that sends chills up my spine these days is the young people out there in the world today that believe that history is useless. And they're there. Why study history? It's nonsense. I've heard that more than once. His magnetic personality and ability to persuade people will cause many people to follow him. He will speak blasphemies against the Lord, but many will be fooled. Now, how many of you are going to say, Pastor Jay, not me. Not me. Uh-uh. I've been going to Miss Ginny's Sunday school class for so long. I will not be fooled. somebody say they're not going to be fooled. Makes me feel good. Okay. Thank you, Anita. Do you think that you can't be fooled? Matthew 24:24 says, and I will just make it very Sanhorn paraphrasing. This guy is going to be so powerful and he is going to speak so eloquently that he will fool even the very elect. 24:24 of Matthew. He will be so eloquent, he will be so charismatic that even those of the elect will be fooled by him. So don't say, oh, I'll never be fooled. Folks, there are people that watched Hitler do the horrible things he did and cried when they found out he died. Just as people could see the atrocities of the Third Reich, but still blindly follow the Führer, so many people are going to follow the Antichrist. Okay? Because of his charisma. The second thing we need to know is that he will tickle ears as he blinds eyes. His coup d'etat will be presenting a peace deal for Israel that will supposedly solve millennia of Arab-Israeli conflict. He's going to come with a peace deal, going to bring peace to the Middle East. Now, how long have people in the Middle East been killing each other? Thousands and thousands of years. This guy's going to come in, and he's going to bring a peace deal. Okay? Look at Daniel 9:27, if we could, please. Daniel 9:27. He will confirm a covenant with many for 1 7. In the middle of the seven, he will put an end to sacrifice and offering. And at the temple, he will set up an abomination that causes desolation until the end that is decreed is poured out on him. He is going to bring a 7-year peace deal. And in the middle of the 7-year peace deal, he is going to break it. Everybody got that? Okay, so if somebody comes and offers a peace deal in the Middle East for 7 years, I'm going to suggest to you that you don't buy any green bananas. Because the end is coming very quickly. Once it happens. Am I making myself clear? Watch for it. Right now, back in the early 2000s, a man by the name of Vladimir Putin brought a peace deal before the United Nations Security Council where he offered to split Jerusalem in half, one half going to the Arabs, one half going to the Jews, and it would be a deal that would last for guess how long. The Security Council voted it down, but it was renewed interest in it back in 2016. Where there is a new deal now, they're talking about to divide Jerusalem in half. Look it up, it's there. Okay? We'll talk about that more next week. But he will bring this peace deal. It'll be broken by himself at the halfway point. And the final 3.5 years of this peace deal is going to be a period that we call the Great Tribulation. Okay? The final 3.5 years will be a time of such great trouble and sorrow like the world has never known before. He will masquerade as a humble and wise leader, but underneath all of this, he will be discovered to be a wolf in sheep's clothing, and God's faithful will see it. Now you're thinking, wait a minute. The God's faithful aren't going to be here. They're going to be raptured out first. Isn't that what you taught some weeks ago? Yeah. But wait, there's more to the story. Remember that he will rise to prominence during a very turbulent time. Wars and rumors of wars, pestilence, disease. You know, millions of people all of a sudden disappearing from the face of the earth. Okay? And unless I miss my guess, the church will be raptured out before all of this occurs. Puzzled and distraught, the people of the world will start crying out, oh, who is going to make sense of this? You've got to have peace. What's going to happen? The world is going nuts, and all these aliens came and took all these people. Yeah, I'm sure there's people who would say, oh, it was an alien abduction. Yeah, I'm sure. And so here will come this individual saying, I've got a plan. I've got a plan for world peace. And people will go running to him. And they will be unaware of who he really is as they run to him and cheer for him, just as they did for Hitler, Stalin, Chairman Mao, Pol Pot, a man that was down in the Dominican Republic named Trujillo. I mean, there's these kinds of rulers that have been all through the ages that people ran to. But he will be a brutal figure on the world stage, and he will show himself to be that eventually, because he will be a persecutor of God's people. That's point three. He'll be a persecutor of God's people. It says that he will bring suffering for time and half a time. Okay? A time is a year, times is 2 years, and half a time is half a year. So those of you that are mental math geniuses said, wait a minute, 2 + 1 + 1/2. 3 1/2. Correct. For 3 1/2 years. And you might ask who the Antichrist will persecute if the church has been raptured out. Did you know that there will be people who are saved during the time of the tribulation? People will be saved during the time of the tribulation. These people, many of whom, will be martyred for their beliefs because they will be unwilling to accept the mark. What is the mark? 666 or something. I've heard people talking about it's going to be a tattoo. Just try tattooing me. Try it. You will have better days because they take needles and I don't do needles. If you go back to Daniel chapter 7 verse 25, it says he will speak against the Most High and oppress his holy people and try to change the set times and the laws, and the holy people will be delivered in his hands for a time, times and half a time. Some translations use the word persecute. Some translations use the term wear out. And truthfully speaking, the best translation that you find there is wear out. Okay? Wear them down. It seems to me that in this time, the Antichrist is going to use a process by which he will wear down the people of God through torture and cruelty and unspeakable acts that are done to them, these poor people, just like Antiochus Epiphanes did, just like Diocletian did, just like Nero did. Unspeakably cruel things. And the Antichrist will be a cruel and bloodthirsty man who will pose as a friend of Israel. But in the end, he will be seen by the whole world to be anything but. So don't be fooled. Where does he come from? How will we know who he is? Is he in the world now? Those of you that are reading your newsletter know that we're doing a question and answer thing. You guys write me a question and I do the best I can answer it. We're going to be answering one of those questions that I got. Is the Antichrist in the world today? Who do you think he is? Where's he coming from? We'll be talking about that next week, Lord willing. So stay tuned for the World Ruler Part 2. Okay? If you know somebody's got questions about it, you know what you should do? Bring them. Yep. Alright? At this point, I should probably say, do you have any questions? But not to do that. Wait till next week. Let's pray. Our Father, as we consider the times that are coming, we ask, dear God, that you would make us to be men and women who are strong in your word. Father, we ask you to make us men and women who will not be fooled. Your word says in Matthew 24:24 that even the very elect will be led astray. Well, we ask you, God, to cover our hearts and our minds to give us a sense of Holy Spirit-given discernment so that we are not fooled. Father, glorify yourself in us. Father, make us to be men and women who live by your word. And only that. Only by your word. And Lord, we pray that as these dark days come, that you would make us to be children of light, that many will come to the truth because of your light that shines through us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray.